Galatians is, of course, basically talking about the difference between law and grace. Until the person has an idea or the understanding of the relationship of the law and what it is for and grace and how it fits into the plan of salvation, then he'll never really understand the Bible. And people get these two things mixed up and confused. They think that you have to keep the law to be saved and all these kind of things. And they become very legalistic in their outlook when they do this. And most people today have some kind of mixture of the law within their Christian life or in salvation, one or the other or both. And the book of Galatians straightens this out very vividly for us. In fact, so many people think that you're saved by keeping the law, and yet they say there's only one way of salvation. Well, if you're saved by keeping the law, let me ask you just one question. When did the law enter the scene? When did the law come into existence? Now, we have Adam, and 2,000 years later, we have Abraham, and we're going to talk about Abraham a little bit later in just a moment. But we have Adam, and then 2,000 years, we have Abraham, and then after Abraham, we've got a man who came along about 500 years later whose name is Moses. And if you know anything about the Bible at all, you know that Moses is the one who wrote the first five books of the Old Testament, and this is basically called the law. And of course, the Ten Commandments was given to Moses on Mount Sinai, and so the law only came 2,500 years after Adam. And if people are saved by the law, then how were those people saved for 2,500 years? If they did not have the law, if they did not know the law, if the law was not written down for 2,500 years, how were they saved? And let me ask you another question. If they lived the Christian life by the law, then how do they live the Christian life if they did not have it? And the Bible makes it very plain that they did not have the law. Now, it was not given until Moses, who came only 4,500 years ago, or 3,500 years ago. So, for 2,500 years, there was no such thing as the law or the Mosaic law. And so, Paul writes to the Galatians here, and he says, now, you are foolish in the first verse. You are foolish, or you are stupid, because you had people who came in, and they gave you a double whammy. They gave you an evil eye, and they came there, and they preached to you, and they got you all emotionally involved in this thing, and you began in the Spirit. You were saved by grace through faith, and then they got you off here under the law. And we have so many people today who are under the law, and therefore they are legalistic. They have a set of ground rules, and if they do not follow the law and they do not keep the law, then you're on the out with them. Well, if you believe that away, that's perfectly all right, because this is your privilege. If you believe that you've got to keep the Ten Commandments after you're saved, or you have to keep the Ten Commandments to be saved, that's all right. That's your privilege, because every man has his own way, and you can have your own way, but the Bible does not say this whatsoever at all. Now, I want you to understand that. And the Bible says so in so many words, and it says exactly in those words, therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now, that's Romans, the 3rd chapter, the 19th verse. The law gives you just a knowledge of your sin. And you need to commit that verse of Scripture to memory if you do not know it, because you're going to run upon people all over the place who think you have to keep the law or do parts of the law to be saved. And then there are other verses of Scripture like Galatians, the 2nd chapter, the 16th verse. And look there on it. It's right there on the same page that we're looking at. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now I want you to understand that the Bible says that no person is justified by keeping the law. And this is not my opinion. I just read you a verse of Scripture from the Word of God, and in the context, that's exactly what it's talking about. Now, when we come to salvation in the Old Testament, Abraham is always the example of how a man is saved in the Old Testament. Time and time again, he is the one that is given. And here again in the sixth verse, after he tells them that in the fifth verse, he therefore that ministers or that provides to you the Spirit. And of course, when we are saved, we receive the Holy Spirit within our bodies, and he works miracles among you. Doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now, how does the Holy Spirit come into your body, and how does the Holy Spirit produce miracles in your life? Does it do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Does it do it by your doing something that the law says for you to do, or do you do it by your faith in God the Holy Spirit and faith in what Jesus Christ has done for you? In other words, you're depending upon what God has done and not what you can do of yourself. You see, the works of the law is you're doing something. And the hearing of faith is you depending upon somebody else to do, or something else to do something for you. And of course, that somebody is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one who provides salvation in total. Notice it says here in the sixth verse, even as Abraham believed God. Now, in the Old Testament, Abraham believed in God. And this word God here is the word for Jehovah. And if you'll turn with me, this is a quotation from Genesis, the 12th chapter. And let's turn back to Genesis 12, and we'll begin reading at the first verse. Genesis 12, 1. Very easy to find for you. We want to get to the third verse, because this is where it all comes down to. Now, the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. Now notice he says, I want you to leave out of your house, your country. I want to leave your kinfolks. I want you to leave your house. And I want you to go to a land that I will show thee. And then notice he says, and I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will. Now, if you will, if you don't mind writing in your Bible, and you certainly shouldn't, you ought to circle those four I wills. And notice it's not like Satan did. Satan says, I will. But here, it's God saying, I will. God says, I will show you a land. I will make you great. I will bless you. And I will bless them that bless you. And I will curse them that curse you. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now here God is giving Abraham a blessing, or telling them that he's going to bless him for having left his country because of his faith in Jesus Christ. Now, Abraham, I got the wrong verse of scripture. The 15th chapter is the one that I want you to look at. Genesis 15. I was jumping the gun there. We'll see. Genesis 15, 6. Notice the fifth verse now. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward the heavens and tell the stars, and if thou shalt be able to number them, and said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, or he believed in Jehovah, and it was counted to him for what? Righteousness. Abraham believed in the Lord, and the word Lord here is in capital letters, and anytime you see the word capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D in your King James Version, it always means Jehovah. It's always the word that is translated Jehovah. And Jehovah and Jesus is the same thing. In fact, Jehovah is the revealed part of God. He is the part of God that is revealed to us and is shown to us. And the only part of God that we can know and has been revealed to us is God the Son, or God the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God the Father, no man has seen him any time. God the Holy Spirit is a spirit, and you cannot see him. And God the Son became a man so we could see him. And so here, Abraham believed in Jesus. And when he believed in Jesus, it was counted to him for righteousness. Abraham believed this, and he was saved. Just like today, when you believe in Jesus Christ, then God counts that unto you for righteousness. Now, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Now, when you are of faith, then you are children of Abraham too. Now, this word children here is a little different word from children than what is usually translated children. This word is for an adult son. The word there is huios, which means an adult son. In other words, when you believe in Jesus, God makes you, put you in the family as an adult son. Now, this is called the doctrine of adoption, and we'll get to it a little later on in the context. But you're adopted into the family as a full-grown son. Now, there are children of Abraham that are in the family. There's another word that's used, and that word is technon, which means a little child. And if you'll turn back to Romans, the ninth chapter, Romans 9, let's see what it is, 9. The sixth verse. Romans 9, 6. Now, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Now, the Bible says here, not everybody that's Israel is of Israel. In other words, every Jew is not necessarily a Jew. All Israel is not Israel. Now, what's he talking about? Just exactly the same thing that he's talking about here in Galatians, the third chapter. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the sons of Abraham. Now, I was watching the educational channel last night, and on that educational channel, they had a little thing there about Abraham. And it said Abraham had an only son. Abraham had just an only begotten son. But Abraham did not have an only begotten son. Because Abraham had how many children? Two. Isaac was not Abraham's only son. He was Abraham's only saved son. Abraham had two. Ishmael is just as much a son of Abraham as Isaac was. But God did not count Ishmael as a son. Why? Because Ishmael never was saved. Ishmael never did believe in Jehovah, and it was counted to him for righteousness. So Ishmael was a technon, whereas Isaac was a huios. Ishmael was just a little baby son. He was just a physical son, and that does not count as far as God is concerned. You've got to be a born-again son. And when you have faith in Jehovah, then you are born again. You are an adult son of God. And you are saved. Now you see, actually, Isaac had twin sons, if you remember. And one of them was a huios and one of them was a technon. Because Isaac had Esau and Jacob, remember. Esau never trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. Jacob did. And you can read down in the rest of the book of the ninth chapter of Romans here, if we had time tonight, and we'd see that God hated one and God loved the other. God hated Esau before he was born. He loved Jacob before he was born. Now, why did he love one and hate the other? Because one of them was a good fellow and the other one was a bad fellow? No. Because the good fellow was the one that God hated. Esau was a whole lot better man than Jacob was. Esau was fine and upstanding. He never told any lies. He never did anything that was real bad that's recorded in the Bible. But there's old Jacob. He was always doing things that were wrong. He was always lying and cheating and stealing and always doing things like that. And yet God loved him and hated the other one. Why? Because one trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior and the other one did not. Friend, that makes the difference. That makes the big difference is whether you'll believe in Jehovah, Jesus, the one who has redeemed us from our sin. This is what the world needs to know. It's not your actions. It's not what kind of a person you are. It's not how faithful you are. It's whether you'll turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust Him. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, back to Genesis, to Galatians, the third chapter, the seventh verse. Know ye, and this word know ye is to know from study. You see, there are two words that are translated know in the New Testament. One is to know from experience, and the other one is to know from study. And this word here is to know from study. Know ye therefore, because you have studied the Old Testament, that they which are of faith, the same are the children, they are the adult sons of Abraham. And the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. Now the Scripture foresaw, before they ever came into existence, or before they were ever born, God foresaw who would be saved, and God foresaw who would be lost, and who would not trust Christ as his Savior. So the Scripture foresaw that God would justify the heathen through faith, preaching before in the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations of the shall all nations be blessed. When Abraham was down there in the Ur of the Chaldees, down there before he ever left out there and going up to the promised land, Abraham believed in Jehovah. He believed in Jesus Christ, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And then after he was saved, then he began to do these things for God. He began to listen to the Holy Spirit and be guided by him, and he left his country. He left some of his kinfolk, and he went part of the way to a land that God showed him. But he finally got stopped in a little place called Haran. And you know where Haran is? That's the dried up place. That's what Haran means, the dried up place. You know, there are a lot of people, a lot of Christians I know that are saved. They've trusted Christ as their Savior. They know that Jesus Christ died on the cross and paid for their sins, and God has said, now this is what I want you to do. And they know part of God's will for their life. They know that God has said, as a newborn babe, I want you to desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. But they have no more concern for God's word than they do for flying to the moon. I wonder tonight, how much of a concern do you really have to know God's word? Is that the driving force in your life? Do you really want to know what God says? Well, you know, if you want to know, you're going to be reading and studying God's word. And it says for you to do that. This is not optional. This is not something that's arbitrary, whether you can desire it if you want to, or if you don't want to, well, that's all right too. No, God says, as a newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And if you're not desire, if you do not have a desire to know God's word, then you're out of God's will. It's as simple and plain as that. Because it's God's will that every Christian have a yearning to know God's word. He said so. He told you to do that. And if you don't have that yearning, you can know one thing. You're out of fellowship with God, and you're under discipline. And you're not going to enjoy the joy of your salvation. There are other things that God has said too. So, here Abraham was. He did not leave all of his kinfolks like God told him to do. He took Lot with him. And he said, leave all your kinfolks. You see, we know some things that God told us to do, but we do it part of the way, you know, and we think that that's sufficient. No. It's not sufficient. Anytime you know what God wants you to do and you do not do it, it's just as wrong can be. So God had to, he also took his father along with him, and they stopped at Haran at the dried up place, and their life was dusty and dry. And their Christian life had no real purpose, no real meaning, because they would not do what they knew to do, or he would not do what he knew to do. And so God had to take his father. His father finally died, and God wiped it out of the way. And so then Abraham left the Haran, and he went to the promised land. He still hadn't gotten rid of Lot yet. Lot was still hanging on. He was still kinfolk. And as he was there in the land, you see, finally, God split them up. And Lot took his cowboys and went one way, and Abraham took his cowboys and went another way. And finally, when Abraham finally got to be 100 years old, he began to listen to God and do exactly what God said. And you know, from the time he was 100 till he died, old Abraham was a tremendous witness and a testimony for Jesus Christ, and his life was happier then than all the other 100 years put together. And it could have been happy from the very day he left the Ur of the Chaldees. But you see, he did not listen carefully and specifically to what God told him to do. Okay? Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the adult sons of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, he preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee, in Abraham, shall all nations be blessed. Now, what's he talking about here? Abraham is to be the father of the Jewish race. And since he is the father of the Jewish race, that means that there will be Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, and through David there would come whom? The Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. So through Abraham's loins, Jesus Christ was born, and he came into the world that all the nations of the world might be blessed. Notice in John, just jot this scripture verse down. John, the 8th chapter, the 56th verse. John 8:56. Now listen to it. Don't turn to it because it's short and I'll have it read before you get there. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Jesus Christ here is speaking. He says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Now, Abraham rejoiced to see the day of Jesus Christ. What is he talking about? Abraham, when he was down there in the earth, and God told him that he was going to send his son, Jesus Christ, to die and to pay for the sins of the world, and that son is going to come through your loins. And when he understood that, it just excited him, because he knew that the sun, the moon god Herky, could not save him. He had been trusting in Herky, the moon god. And his life was empty, and he knew that this did not satisfy him. This was not sufficient. Because, you see, just any god will not do. But God said, revealed himself to Abraham, and he says, now I'm going to send my son, and through this son, the whole nations of the world are going to be blessed. Not just the Jews, but the whole nations of the world shall be blessed. And he rejoiced exceedingly over this. So then they which be of faith are blessed with, and your Bible, or if you have a King James, it says faithful, and it should read believing Abraham. Believing. We are blessed with believing Abraham. Abraham believed. So then they which be of faith, those who work on a principle of faith, those who can trust God and know that God is sufficient and God will do what he says he'll do, they're going to be blessed. And this means they will receive blessing continually. They will continually receive blessing from God because they're blessed with this believing Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law. Now I want you to notice tonight. You who want to get back under the law, or you who want to be under the law, or you who think that you have to be justified by the law, I want you to listen to what the Bible says about this. And you know, there are a lot of people in Starkville, Mississippi, who need to read this verse of Scripture and understand it. There are a lot of Baptists, Methodists and Presbyterians and every other kind, and those who do not even go to church, need to understand this very scripture verse right here, because there's a lot of legalism around here, and there are a lot of people who want to stay under the law, and they want to keep the law, And they demand this? I haven't been around here very long, but I've gotten this idea from a lot of different things that have been said. You know, you can learn a lot sometimes by what is not said and what is said. Just sit around and listen to the general conversation that goes along, and you can find out where people stand and where they are and what they believe. Not very hard. But listen to this verse of Scripture. Now, as many as are under the works of the law, you want to be under the works of the law? Notice. Are under the curse. Now, if you want to be under the law, remember, you're under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things which are written in the books of the law to do them. If you do not know what the first five books of the Old Testament say, then you do not know what the law says. You have to know everything in all five books. And then you've got to do everything that's in those five books. If you're going to continue, and the word continue means to keep on keeping on all the time, not just today for a little while and then forget about it, and then break the laws for a while and then start keeping them again. And then we fall off the log, so to speak, as my dad used to say, and we don't keep them for a while, and then we start keeping them for a while. No, that will not work. You've got to keep them all the time, and you can't ever quit keeping them, and they've got to be kept continuously from the very beginning right down to the end. And that means the ones that you know about and the ones that you do not know about. Now, when the children of Israel receive the law from Moses, the 120 of them. Now you see, most people only think that Moses got 10 commandments on Mount Sinai. Just 10. But in actuality, he got 120. There were just 10 that happened to be written down on the tables of the law. And he got 110 that were not written down on the tables of the law. So you can't just keep the 10, you've got to keep the 120 plus all the others that are in the whole first five books. Otherwise you're cursed. Now you see what the law says? Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things which are written in the books of the law of Israel. James 2:10 says, whosoever keeps the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. You keep all the law and yet you offend in one point, then you're guilty. In other words, how many times do you have to commit murder to be a murderer? How many lies do you have to commit to be a liar? How many times do you have to steal to be a thief? Just one time. So you have to continue in them all the time. The rich young ruler who came to the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew the 19th chapter. And if you have your Bibles, you'd like to turn there. This is a very good one for us because this is one that's used quite often. And if you want to know about the rich young ruler, turn with me to Matthew 19. The 16th verse says, and behold, one came unto him and said unto him, good master, what good thing must I do? And I want you to put a little circle around the word do, that I may have eternal life. Now he came to Jesus Christ and he says, what do I have to do to have eternal life? There are two answers to this. If you're going to have to do something to have eternal life, then you've got to do what? Either there's nothing you can do, or you've got to keep all the laws. So he asked a question here, and this is a wrong question because this is a false question. What must I do? But Jesus Christ answered him in the very sense that he asked it. And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said unto him, which of the commandments? And Jesus said, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man said unto him, all these have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? He says, I have done all these. Now, I doubt it. I just don't believe it. I'm sure he was a moral person. But I have my doubts about him doing all this from his youth up. But Jesus goes ahead with him, and he assumes that he has done all these. And he says unto him, if thou would be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and follow, come and follow me. Now, what does he mean here by come and follow me? All right. If we had time, we could read the rest of it, but I want you to skip down to the 27th verse. Then Peter said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What have we therefore? And Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the, what? Regeneration. Those are the ones that follow him in the regeneration shall inherit eternal life. Now, I skipped the parenthesis there. And the parenthesis starts there with when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory. Ye shall also sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes, and every one that hath forsaken houses, or brothers, or sisters, or fathers, or mothers, or wife, or children, or lands, or for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit eternal life. And the parenthesis should close after 100-fold, which means maximum reward. Now, when you have followed him in regeneration, you'll inherit eternal life. And that's what Jesus Christ told the disciples was the answer to this rich young ruler's problem. He wanted to do something to get to heaven, but Jesus Christ says the answer is regeneration. You have to follow in regeneration. Regeneration means born again. This is what we preached on this morning from John 3. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him, they should not perish, but they should have everlasting life. That's what Jesus Christ told Nicodemus he had to do, be born again, to be regenerated. And so, when you do not keep all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them, then you're under a curse. Back to Galatians 3:11. But that no man is justified by the law. Now remember, I did not write this. This is God's word. This is what God says. That no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, the just shall live by faith. Is that plain enough? And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. If you want to do the law, then you shall continuously live in them. You want to do the law, then you've got to continue in them. But then the 13th verse, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Here's our friend redemption again. Oh, what a wonderful word. Christ hath redeemed us. He hath brought us out of the slave market of sin to set us free. We're under the slave of sin, but now we're set free because Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Jesus Christ was made a curse for you, because he was placed there on that cross, on that tree for you, that you might be out from under the curse of the law. Because he was made the curse for you. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, but he was made sin for us who knew no sin. God poured out on him our sin. He was made sin for us. He knew no sin, but he was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. When we have our faith in him, God declares us as good as he is good. God declares us completely righteous. And we're no longer on the curse of the law, because the law says, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all these things. Now, I trust this little portion of Scripture tonight has helped you to see something of what God has done for us. Something of how that we are not under the law any longer. But that Jesus Christ took the law and he fulfilled the law for us, that by faith in him we might be justified, and not only be justified, but that we might live. That we might live our life not under the works of the law any longer. And the Bible says this too. Because even after we are saved, we are still not under the law. As we saw in the third chapter, the first five verses last Sunday night. We are not under this to live our Christian life. It's live by faith too. The same way in Colossians 2:6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so you walk in. The same way you're saved, that's the way you live. You live on a basis of our faith in God, the Holy Spirit, to give us the power to do what God has told us to do in the Word of God. Now, maybe this tonight, as we mentioned earlier, you do not have a desire to know God's Word. You do not desire the Word of God as a little baby desires milk. You can take it or you can leave it. If it's real convenient and you have time, then you open the Word of God and you read it. But it's really not something that you yearn after. And you want to know what God says more than anything else in the world. Then okay, you ask God, the Holy Spirit, God, I don't have that desire. Please give me the desire that I ought to have to know God's Word. And bless your heart, you know what will happen? You'll get a desire to know God's Word. God has said that we are to be witnesses unto Him. We have to be a testimony. And that's not just with the life. That's with the lips too. That's speaking to people and telling them how Christ died and paid for sin. You say, well, I can't do that. That's right, you sure can. Not in your own strength. But listen, friend, in the power of the Holy Spirit, being controlled by Him, you can do it. And you have the responsibility. If you don't have the desire to do that, ask God, God, you said that I should be a witness, and give me the desire. Help me to learn your word so I'll know what to say to them when I have the opportunity. And then, Lord, give me opportunities to present this gospel unto the lost people that I associate with every day, that they might not have to go to hell. The last little thing in our bulletin, the last little announcement that we had, was a little misprint there. It says that we don't have, the main goal in our church should be to evangelize. And if we get used to people going to hell without Jesus Christ, we're lost. Our goal will never be accomplished, but if we can't get used to that, if we can't get to the place where we can go to sleep at night easily and realizing that there are people that we know who are going to hell and we're not doing anything about it, then we're in good shape, because we'll do something about it in the power of the Holy Spirit once we realize people are really lost outside of Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads for prayer.